Chapter 29. After a night at Sparks Hospital, where a doctor described her as being in a high state of agitation and emotional hysteria, Linda appeared before Judge Don Langston. Clearly in a high state of agitation and then some, she clutched a brown paper sack against her chest. A public defender, Robert Marquette, was appointed as her attorney. Linda refused to answer any questions Judge Langston asked her, and Marquette wisely asked that she be transferred to the state hospital for a 30-day examination. The prosecuting attorney for both Crawford and Sebastian County, Ron Fields, requested that her bond be set at $35,000. Both requests were granted by Judge Langston, and once again, Linda was loaded into a car and taken to Little Rock, to the state's mental hospital. This time, she rode in the back of Sheriff Ball's county car, and he delivered her there in record time. Linda was aware that menstrual blood was seeping onto the back seat, but there was nothing she could do about it. She had asked for help while she was in the hospital, but a paper sack that held a small towel was the only thing provided to her. She could sense there was not much sympathy given to a woman who had killed her mother. When she arrived at the state hospital, she stood next to a black woman named Gloria, who was being checked in. Gloria clearly didn't think she deserved to be in a nut house and cursed everyone in sight. As far as she was concerned, everybody could just go fuck themselves. Linda stepped as far away from the woman as she could and looked down at the concrete floor. When she felt a tug on her arm, she looked up to see a gray-haired woman behind a metal desk.
"I need your name and birthday, ma'am."
Unlike Gloria, Linda wasn't going to give anyone any trouble. She struggled to answer questions, but finally she was able to tell the woman her name and birthday. With a clean white gown under her arm, Linda was led into a ward of other new patients. All she could think about were her children and when she would see them again. That was the only thing that kept her from screaming, screaming, screaming. While Linda was locked in a building with metal screens on the window, her husband was trying to get their younger children settled in. The youngest, still in diapers, required a good deal of hands-on care that Howard was unable to provide. He asked for help from Judy, the woman he now loved, to find sitters for him, and she was pleased to help. Not personally, but she would find someone who needed a job, and Cabot was full of those kind of women. The older boys were frightened, scared of what would happen to their mother, scared of what would happen to them. The 14-year-old was already ensconced in a rebellious age of disliking everyone except his friends. But his friends had heard the news about his mother, and their parents weren't sure they wanted their teens to associate with any of the Martin kids.